Most people who look at these slides would think, oh my goodness. But they're there to attract you and to catch your attention. Because as we look in a mirror, it can tell us many things about our physical appearance. And one of the main objects of the mirror is whether it is made of glass or a polished metal, is that it cannot lie to us about our appearance. It indulges perfect reflection and reveals all our flaws. And when we then make the necessary changes or corrections to either hide or remove those flaws, that is to satisfy our appearance. And so the mirror represents our reflection, and it gives us a glimpse of what others see about us. And if we fail to look at our reflection in the mirror, then we will not know what others will see. We may have dried toothpaste on our face, smeared makeup, that just got out of bed looking hair. And typically, we normally do not want others to see us less than perfected or perfection or that perfect appearance. And so the analogy with the mirror is, of course, the Word of God. And its power is to see through the imperfections of all of us. We find in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 through 13, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do." So as we look at James, the book of James, and the writer of this book, of course, is the biological brother of Jesus. And he writes this letter to the 12 tribes of the dispersed Jewish people from captivity of Assyria and Babylon. We take a moment to recognize how the Lord's brother made a change in his life that reflects in this letter. You see, James grew up with Jesus in the same household. His way of thinking was completely different than his brother Jesus. The scripture tells us that James did not grow up as a believer, and his very own brother was the Son of God. We find in John chapter 7 and verse 2 through 5 that it says, "Now the feast of the Jews, the feast of booths, was near. Therefore his brother said to him, 'Leave here and go into Judea, so that your disciples also may see your works which you are doing. For no one does anything in secret when he himself seeks to be known publicly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world.' For not even his brothers were believing him." And the fact that Jesus was the Son of God did not sink into their hearts, into their minds, till after the resurrection and the ascension into heaven. It was here that we truly understand who Jesus was, and from that time, he changed his life and the life of others through this letter. And so our lesson today will compare our knowledge with what James wrote about the authentication of the faithful Christian. We find that we are to hear the things and believe and do them. We find that the change in James starts with this chapter in chapter 1. We find he says about the greetings in verse 1 and how to perfect a prophet from trials, he talks about in verse 2 through 4. How to obtain wisdom, he talks about through 5 through 8. How to be rich as well as poor, he talks about verse 9 through 11. And then he talks about how to overcome temptations, verse 12 through 15. How to receive good gifts, verse 16 through 18. And how to communicate in verse 11 through 21. And then he talks about how to become a doer in verse 22 to 25. And how to be authentically religious, 26 and 27. These things that we also should put into our toolbox and understand that we too need to make those necessary changes. And so as we look at the reality of the mirror and hearing and doing the word that we see in verse 22 to 25 that was so beautifully read by our brother here, we take a look at these three pictures. We see one that this young man believes that he is a king. He thinks that he is much better than everyone else. We find of the second one, this woman, young lady, thinks that she is the queen of all young ladies. And of course, we find in the latter one, we find this kitten looks in the mirror and he thinks he's a lion, or she's a lion. What this represents is something that we find in the Greek word, to be a doer. When we see that if we are to be a doer, it means that a person is to do some type of activity. And so this Greek word, etes, tells us that we need to be active. And these are things that James tells us as well. And five times it is used in the New Testament scripture, and most of those times it's used actually in the letter that James wrote. We find in verse 22 where it says, "Prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves." He states in verse 23 that if anyone is a hearer of the word and is not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. In verse 25, he says, "But he who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." We find also in James chapter 4, in verse 11, he says, "Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judge his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not what? A doer of the law, but a judge of it." And then Paul also accompanies what James says in this letter, as he wrote in the letter written to the Christians at Rome. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 13, he says, "For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearer of the law, but just before God, but the doer of the law will be justified." And so obviously people cannot be hearers only, or they will miss out on the blessings of the Lord. And sometimes that occurs with those in the parable of the sower and the soil, we see. Because when we look at the sower and the soil, there are people who missed out on the blessings of God. The word was choked out by temptation. We find that the worries of the world destroyed the word of God within their hearts. And so therefore, they're actually not doers of the word because they allowed the word to disappear from their heart. And so James tells us the first thing that we need to understand if we want to be doers of the word is that we must be real with yourself. You must understand what you need and what you understand and what you want from the word of God and how that word can change. He says in verse 23, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror." Now, each one of us, one time a day at least, looks at the mirror. Whether we're brushing our teeth, whether we're combing our hair, whether we're putting on makeup, we are looking at that mirror and we're looking at the reflection of that mirror of ourselves. And the purpose that we're looking at this mirror is because we want to appear better than what that mirror shows us as we go out into public. We don't want to go out in public having smears on our face, dirt on our face, uncombed hair, or any of those features. We want to look our best when we come into public. And so James is telling us that even during that time, they didn't have the reflective mirror that we have today of glass. They had polished metal. And if anyone looked in that mirror, they saw themselves. And so as we look at the mirror of God's word, we see ourselves. And we see that there are changes that need to be made in our life that we can appear in perfection through Jesus Christ. He says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he immediately forgotten what kind of person he was." So as we make those necessary changes in our life, as we look at that mirror, once we leave that mirror, we forget those changes that we made because we believe that those changes are going to last during the course of the day, right? When we look at the Word of God and we see those changes that we must make in our life to be pleasing to God, those changes will be with us forever if we allow them to be. But we have the option just to forget what we see when we look at the mirror. And those changes that we make perhaps may not stick. A person who wears false eyelashes, their eyelashes may be hanging off. They won't even know, right? Their lipstick may be smeared. They won't even know. They may have a little bit of dirt on their face as they was working on their car because their car broke down. They won't know. They have to look at the mirror to see their reflection, to see what they appear to be. And we look at the Word of God to see what we appear before God, what God sees of us. And that Word, as we read in Hebrew, is sharper than a two-edged sword. It will cut to the things that we don't even understand. And so naturally, it can tell us the things that need to be improved in our life. So we must be real with ourselves. James reinforced his point with an illustration of a mirror. A mirror reflection is what we see ourselves and any imperfection that exists. And the reflection is also what others see as well. All these things come together. And the good part is we can change what we see in the mirror. If we have a smudge on our face, we can remove it. If our makeup is not quite right, we can change it. We can do all these things when we see ourselves in the mirror. And most of us want to change our appearance to look our best. But how do we cross over from the physical side of things to the spiritual side as the Word requires? Because as we look at that mirror, the Word of God, there are definitely going to be changes that we will make. We cannot sit back and say, yes, I am perfect for today. Because when we look at that mirror, we're going to find some imperfections that need to be corrected. And we must make that correction. Again, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 through 13, it tells us, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do." What the mirror, as the Word of God, is telling us is that we must be real with ourselves before we can be real with God. We find it in verse 25 and 26 of our text. It says, "But he who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceive his own heart, this man's religion is worthless." He says it is worthless. And so what is God requiring of us? What is he looking for? He's looking for the honesty that is required of everyone, of all of us. And there is no exception of dishonesty. And so we see examples with the Israelites when they were released of 430 years of slavery and saw the wondrous works performed by God that they could see with their own eyes. And they knew that he was the God of Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord our provider. Before the mountain of Sinai, where God met the people, we see in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 3 through 8, and Exodus chapter 24 and verse 7, that they said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient." Did he not say that? But when Moses went up to the mountain and received the Ten Commandments, the people were rebellious, making a golden calf to worship and to make sacrifices. We see this in Exodus chapter 32, verse 1 through 6. Did their promise to follow the Lord mean anything to them? Were they real with God? They said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient." But the first time that Moses was gone, guess what they did? They turned their backs on God, made a golden calf and worshiped God, and sacrificed to it. Did the thing that they say to God was really honest? Or just lip service? Jesus also talked about realism in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and through 7. He talked about personal relationships and what they should mean to us. He said, "Murder begins in the heart, and to reconcile our differences before we come to the altar. If we have something against our brother, we need to get that straight before we come to the worship service and partake of the Lord's Supper." He talks about personal relationships. He said your word is your bond. You don't need to take an oath. You don't need to swear. You just need to do. He talks about love your enemies. He talks about do good to those who hate you. Do good to please God. He talked about charitable gifts and that they are to be kept in secret. He talked about the model prayer, not with vain repetitions for show. And to forgive men of their trespasses, and to lay up your treasures in heaven. He talked about you can't serve two masters. You either love one or hate the other. He talked about the cure for anxiety, because he tells us, do not worry, because God will take care of us. And he gives an example of the animals that he takes care of and the lilies of the field. He talked about judging others. Hypocrites are to be removed, that log in their eye, before they try to take the splinter out of their friend's eye. These are all the things that he talked about on that mount. And these are things that we need to do. These are the things that reflect back to us as we look into that mirror, the Word of God. And these are the things that we need to get rid of. Throw them out if we are to be perfected before God. And so the Word of God breaks through the false mirror of narcissism and selfishness. And that is what this picture is showing. That bowling ball is breaking that mirror of all these things that we take for granted and these things that we put in our life that are contrary to the Word of God. If we are to be perfect for God, then we don't want to look at that false mirror of narcissism and selfishness, because it brings to light the changes we must make to be acceptable in His sight. People today need to look in the true mirror and make those changes. We talk about religion. James talked about religion in this letter, because religion is the external observable qualities of faith in Christ. And in this very important reality, religion is indispensable, but only if it is true to the faith that we have towards God. If we truly have that faith, if we give God our all, the tongue becomes the test case for true religion. And if we fail, then our religion is worthless. How can we look at that mirror of God's Word and make those changes? We have to be real, not only with ourselves, with God, but we have to be pure and clean. And so this Greek word for pure is called katharos. And it's defined as clear or pure in a spiritual sense for the pollution and guilt of sin, with the connotation of one who differentiates between that which is good and that which is excellent. And so as we look at these words, then we need to understand that these words mean something to us. If we are to be pure, if we are to be clean, then we have to put away that pollution that's in our lives that surround us. We don't want to be intoxicated with the pollution that surrounds us. It shouldn't be a part of our life, because we are separated. We're a royal priesthood, the Scripture reveals to us. And so that means that we're set apart. He says that we also, if we're going to prove our religion, he says, pure and undefiled religion in verse 27, in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. And so as we look at the scriptures that reveal to us the things about widows and orphans, these people are singled out in the Old Testament as people of special concern to God. We find in Exodus chapter 22 and verse 22 to 24 that you shall not afflict any widows or orphans. If you afflict him at all, and he does cry out to me, I will surely hear his cry, and my anger will be kindled, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall become widows, and your children fatherless. We find many other scriptures that reveal to us that God takes these individuals serious, widows and orphans. But through the time, we're not going to have time to go through each one of these scriptures. We read in Exodus chapter 22, but let us turn our Bibles over to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16 through 19. It says, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the word of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We will know by this that we are of truth and we'll assure our hearts before him. And so if we're to be have the reality of this mirror, we have to be honest with ourselves, we have to be real with ourselves, we have to be real with God, and we have to be real with others. John tells us that we must understand that we can't just do things with word or tongue, but we need to do them with deed and in truth. And the idea, as a child of God, children of God, we must love the fatherless. We must love the widows and everyone who crosses our path. Because we see in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8 that Jesus tells us, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And so caring for others with a pure heart is the trademark of the Christian, because God we serve cares for all. He cares for all of us. And it's our responsibility as his children to care for everyone. Not just the people that we are fond of, not just our family members, not just our co-workers, but everyone. We need to pour out our heart to everyone, because that's what God does. And that's what God had done with his son, Christ Jesus. Did he not die for the entire world? He didn't die for just the Jewish people. He died for the Gentiles. He died for everybody so that they can see that God's love is there for them, and that that love can lift them up out of trouble, out of heartache, out of things that they can't turn to or tell someone. All these things that God can do and relieve us of the problems that we face. But we need to make those changes. We need to look at that mirror and make those changes in our lives. Our takeaway for this lesson: God's word can rescue us from the power of sin. We must become doers of the word and not hearers only. We must control our tongue and care for those that have no one to care for them, orphans and widows, and avoid corruption in our life. Not allow the pollution of the world to infiltrate our heart and change our pattern and our thoughts. These are the characteristics of the mature Christian. These are the things that we focus on, we meditate on, and we think about day in and day out, and never waver from them. Because if you look at it realistically, are we not the last hope to the world? Think about that for a moment. Are we not the last hope to the world? How do people know about Jesus and what he's done for them? How do they know how God loves them so much that he gave his son to them? How would they know? Unless the children of God tell them. It is up for us to spread that good news, that message of the gospel. And for those who have heard the gospel, I hope that seed has been planted, that it may flourish. I hope that you understand the true love of God's nature and that he's willing to give his son to die for you, to take away your sins by the shedding of his blood, that your sins may be washed away, that you may be pure and holy for the Father. That relationship that you have severed because of the pollution of the world can be restored through the blood of Jesus. Thank you for hearing me this morning, and I hope and pray that this lesson has been beneficial to you, that you can share it with others in your neighborhood, your friends and family, because we are the last hope. We are the reality of the mirror.